Unfortunately, the world keeps coming up with things that make it more and more horrible as we proceed.
Pleasurable acute effects may be peacefulness, euphoria, altered time perception, heightened sensory perception.
TV people who run the world. And I just got orders that I'm supposed to be here, not there.
Intensified feelings and an increased desire for sex.
Or stay up even later until at dawn and make love, you know, and that sort of thing. Let's create the challenge, create the excitement.
To write you up, if you just be patient for 1 minute. Just 1 minute.
You're a joke, fella.
Well, the last talk I gave at this forum was on a light, pleasant topic. It was about how humans are an endangered species.
I don't know what Cracker Barrel you crawled out of, but I wish you'd crawl back in it. Now I'm going back over to L.A., and I'm going to instruct my traffic men to tag every Arizona plate that comes into that state. Right? And they're going to give them your badge number and your name. Then all them son of a bitches are going to come back over here and climb your ass. You got that, officer?
And they're, given the nature of their institutions, they're likely to destroy themselves in a fairly short time.
Your ass.
WZBC. I'm not going to say it's in Newton, though, because I want to punch that critter. Knock him backwards into a ditch. Die a dusty death. My hand has been forced. It's new metaphysics. Coming around again. Like a old rusty needle on a warped 45.
So this time there's a little relief and we have a pleasant topic instead. The new war on terror. Fortunately, the world keeps coming up with things that make it more and more horrible as we proceed.
I'll second that, brother. It is a horrible world. Objectively.
Candidates, they wouldn't even let us have the one we voted for. That makes me feel a little dicey. I don't feel safer that protections for workers and the environment are being shredded faster than you could say Enron.
Holy Jesus, man. I think I might have made a mistake, however, several years ago, when I gleefully said that all of the seven institutions of civilization are crumbling like body snatched pod replacement. The only mistake I think I made is I think I left my own body out there. With my mind in it, of course.
I don't feel safer that what may have been preventable mass terrorist attacks took place, and certainly would have been preventable had we had the courage to speak up. The immediate thing that happened after September 11th was censorship. We were all asked to censor ourselves.
It's enough to get a guy down. See, the idea was to, using bilocation, create a new platform to be on. And since everything is holographic, you don't have to be completely over in the new world fully. You can have your own holographic little personal bubble reality. Right here in the USA. And I don't have to feel too sympathetic for my brothers out there. Because you're not really there anyway. Just something I used to punish myself with. Look to the big picture. It's just in this advanced philosophical terrain sometimes you can pull the objective right out from under yourself and land face first right into it.
First thing they did was they started saying, how could anyone possibly, why would anyone be mad at Americans? And I said, and Bush said, because they don't like our freedom. They hate us because we're free. Yeah.
I'm going to assume two conditions for this talk. The first one is just what I assume to be a recognition of fact. That is that the events of September 11th were a horrendous atrocity, probably the most devastating instant human toll of any crime in history outside of war. The second has to do with the goal. Second assumption has to do with the goal. I'm assuming that our goal is that we're interested in reducing the likelihood of such crimes, whether they're against us or against someone else. If you don't accept those two assumptions, then what I say will not be addressed to you.
WZBC.org, still screaming, still not part of mass media, And if I got 1 ounce of magic in me, ain't gonna be. Because there's been a delay on the line out here. And the mice are climbing up the mainstay, trying to get on to the new thing. Bringing that capitalist disease, license to kill, maim, steal, and fuck your mama, right along. And it could be your mama trying to fuck you.
If we do accept them, then a number of questions arise, closely related ones, which merit a good deal of thought. One question, and by far the most important one, is what is happening right now?
Free to loot their countries, free to screw them up, free to bomb them, free to do whatever we want. You know, free, that we hate them because we're free.
Of course, newmetaphysics.com, bucking mass media, cold slap, bitch slap in the face to the big five that own the entertaining soul of the last 6 million man standing. Or is it 6.5? Put in the W's, though, because gotta put it to the man every which way. Just like a hobby for some. And of course, studio475.com/newmetaphysics. Soon to be jacked up in download speed, almost like a pro site, like a incorporated industry music site, except it's going to have just assorted debris on it, little archives of old shows, whatnot. All I gotta say is somebody's gotta use magic, and they better use it quick. And that's all I gotta say. I was disenfranchised from the train many decades ago. Ended a career as a stand-up comedian, if I were to have a career, that is. So I started falling out of things, losing that edge that a native has on things. Since then, it's been a continuously receding, leery drop-off, the leery effect. Look what it did for him. But such is life as a player, as lead guitar. You know what happens. Could have played rhythm. Could have stayed in the band. Of course, as my homicidal mother always said, there's just something wrong with Gary. Something unspeakably wrong.
Implicit in that is what we can do about it. Second, has to do with the very common assumption that what happened on September 11th is a historic event, one which will change history. I tend to agree with that. I think it's true. It was a historic event, and the question we should be asking is exactly why. The third question has to do with the title, the War Against Terrorism. Exactly what is it? And there's a related question, namely, what is terrorism? Fourth question, which is narrower but important, has to do with the origins of the crimes of September 11th. And the fifth question that I want to talk a little about is what policy options there are in fighting this war against terrorism and dealing with the situations that led to it.
Supposed to talk about the fact that these people get driven to the point where they'll freak out and become terrorists because they feel such despair and hopelessness as a result of long-range horrific conditions throughout the world, many of which can be traced right back to the corporate hessianism that the United States, you know, participates in.
I was constantly at it, yes, but I was looking for something. And as I was looking for something, you know, I would run into obstacles. So that's when, you know, I had to start considering coming up with different techniques, which is like torque versus inertia for turntables, you know, because a lot of the turntables, are, like you can buy a turntable now that's suited for whatever you want. You want to do this, you can buy a turntable for that, or a mixer or a needle. But at this particular time, in the 70s, this stuff didn't exist. So I had to, like, actually come up with science and terms and terminologies, you know. And with turntables, I came up with this thing called the torque factor. And the torque factor is based on if from the state of inertia and you press that power switch, if that platter takes more than a turn to be up to speed, then the torque of that motor wasn't very good.
Say a few things about each. Glad to go beyond in discussion, or don't hesitate to bring up other questions. These are the ones that come to my mind as prominent, but you may easily and plausibly have other choices.
So in my search, you know, I went through countless amount of turntables, so I had to actually create the electrical items first before even coming up with the quick mix theory. And then I had to go look at needles, and then I learned that needles, you know, were in two classifications, which is one is the elliptical and the other is the conical, you know. And,
well, let's start with right now. I'll talk about the situation in Afghanistan. I'll just keep to uncontroversial sources like the New York Times. According to the New York Times, there are 7 to 8 million people in Afghanistan on the verge of starvation.
There was no destruction of property by any demonstrators. However, the LAPD uprooted $500,000 worth of newly planted trees.
That was true, actually, before September 11th. Right, they were surviving on international aid. On September 16th, the Times reported, I'm quoting it, that the United States demanded from Pakistan the elimination of truck convoys that provide much of the food and other supplies to Afghanistan's civilian population.
That's in that fainting answering boredom. And the result is almost always a fission of energy. A lot of energy released. A lot released, and a certain level of gratification, satisfaction, absolutely so. But there is not that fission that you're looking for, and that something that is heavier. That something that is more. It never occurs. And you blame yourself, you turn it inward. So as you can start looking at sexual expression as a form of fission, and understand where that comes from, and shift it for yourselves over to a form of fusion as an expression of love. What if I don't love the person I'm making love with? That's all right. You don't necessarily have to be madly, deeply in love with the person. There are levels of intimacy, as we talked. There are levels of a relationship, as we talked in the relationship workshop. So we're not suggesting you can't make love adequately until you are madly in love. Not at all. Some will want to hear that, so that they can excuse it. Well, I'm not in love, therefore. Poor me. Right. So rough, you know. All right, so some will want to hear it that way, but what is it about in that same thing? The melting together of two consciousnesses.
As far as I could determine, there was no reaction in the United States, or for that matter in Europe. I was on national radio all over Europe the next day. There was no reaction in the United States or in Europe, to my knowledge.
The best indication of a massive plot in Dallas. Now, who could have best done this? Black ops, Mr. Garrison, people in my business, people like my superior officer could have called Colonel Reich and said, look, we have another unit coming from so-and-so, providing security, you'll stand down.
To the demand to impose massive starvation on millions of people.
Nothing should ever be done that should be done. It has to come out like a good hot beer shit. A good hot beer shit is glorious, man.
The threat of military strikes right after September, around that time, forced the removal of international aid workers that crippled the assistance programs. Actually, I'm quoting again from the New York Times. Refugees reaching Pakistan after arduous journeys from Afghanistan are describing scenes of desperation and fear at home as the threat of American-led military attacks turns their long-running misery into a potential catastrophe. The country was on a lifeline, and we just cut the line.
Hey.
Hey.
You a dreamer?
Yeah.
Haven't seen too many of you around lately.
Things have been tough lately for dreamers. They say dreaming's dead. No one does it anymore. It's not dead, it's just it's been forgotten. Removed from our language. Nobody teaches it, so no one knows it exists. The dreamer's banished to obscurity. Well, I'm trying to change all that, and I hope you are too. By dreaming, every day. Dreaming with our hands and dreaming with our minds. Our planet is facing the greatest problems it's ever faced. Ever. So whatever you do, don't be bored. This is absolutely the most exciting time we could have possibly hoped to be alive. And things are just starting.
Planet.
The mood is behind changes. When the market was moving upward from 1982 through early 2000, you could see the mood improving throughout the society in many different areas. Whether you looked at the stock prices or the economic performance or, you know, pop music and how it was getting more and more ebullient, it was everywhere. And what happened in the first quarter of 2000 was a change to the other direction. And bit by bit, you're seeing a change in that mood. And that mood affects people's behavior. And one of the things they do is sell stocks when they're beginning to get more cautious or a little more fearful or more conservative. And that, in the long run, ends up affecting a lot of other things, the main one being the economy.
Use the hand sanitizer. We just can't help it. So much that I lose all finger traction and can't open our plastic bags. I've had days when I've used it so much that I can't even make fingerprints on the glass countertop. It freaks me out, but the thought of not using it is worse. Contamination is everywhere.
Turn around, you look at it, you're proud. The fumes, the stink of the turds, you look at them. You say, God, I did it, I'm good. You know, and you flush it away, and then there's a sense of sadness.
This desire often may not be fulfilled, as ecstasy can also inhibit the ability to become aroused.
For the convention, because they feared that demonstrators would rip off branches and use these as weapons. First case I know of defoliation domestically. All demonstrations were supposed to take place inside a specially constructed pen right outside the Staples Center with 14-foot walls with, you know, wire at the top that you could not easily cross. There were 7 helicopters deployed. In fact, I could usually find out, tell where the demonstration was by looking at the sky and trying to go there. And the cops created a dead zone entirely around all of downtown L.A. Stores were closed and shutters. You know, the metal doors were all rolled down. There were no people. They just, you know, so when you demonstrators... We're walking through, basically through empty streets lined by cops. It was imposing. It was frightening. As everybody there did, felt harassed and curved in and pushed around.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Hey, could we do that again? I know we haven't met, but I don't want to be an aunt, you know? I mean, it's like we go through life with our antennas bouncing off one another, continuously on aunt autopilot.
In fact, in 1978, a friend of mine, A.J. Frost, who's now deceased, and I wrote a book, and it was called Elliott Wave Principle. And in that book, we said there's a great bull market coming, and we were very happy to be able to talk about the terrific bargains that were available in the late 70s and early 80s, because we said this is really going to be a terrific stock market. We thought it would go as high as 4,000. Looking back, that might have been conservative, but at the time, it seemed a little crazy. Now, the key to remaining optimistic, even when times are difficult, is to make sure that you get out of harm's way. And that's why I've been cautioning my subscribers for a long time, you want to stay in cash, because when the trend changes and the mood changes, so will the trend of stocks. And it's going to affect your personal life if you don't get out of the way, get safe, and get into cash. And if you're in that type of position, then really these kind of moods don't have to affect you in a concrete way. You can still look around and see what's going on.
I see people sneezing onto the tape cases. They cough wetly into their palms right before handing me change. But the worst thing is when the tapes come back slippery, or worse yet, sticky.
Of times of the intensive, about how we communicate on our level, since we don't have a body, since we don't have any form in that particular way, and it's a formless reality that we have, no boundary. So we create a boundary, right? We create a boundary, and when we want to communicate with someone else on our levels, and we use that term "someone else" rather loosely, for purposes of communicating, nothing more, right? What we do is merge with that bubble of consciousness, that spark of consciousness.
With nothing really human required of us. Stop, go, walk here, drive there. All action basically for survival, all communication simply to keep this ant colony buzzing along in an efficient, polite manner.
The Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters are on the air. And here comes Tom Mix, America's favorite cowboy. Tony, come on, boy.
Red is Ralston for your breakfast. Starts the day off shining bright. Gives you lots of cowboy energy with a flavor that's just right. It's delicious and nutritious, bite-sized and ready to eat.
Palms right before handing me change. But the worst thing is when the tapes come back slippery.
Here's your change. Paper or plastic? Credit or debit? You want ketchup with that?
Or, worse yet, sticky. Repeat offenders get a note on their file that says, lube warning. The first time, we discreetly but firmly remind the customer that the tapes need to come back clean. The second time, we hand him the tape, a bottle of Windex, and a paper towel, and tell him to clean off the tape in full view of whoever else is at the counter. Other than that, there's not much we can do.
I don't want a straw. I want real human moments. I want to see you. I want you to see me. I don't want to give that up.
Evacuated aid worker in the New York Times Magazine. The World Food Program, the UN program, did, which is the main one by far, they were able to resume after three weeks. In early October, they began to resume at a lower level, resume food shipments. They don't have international aid workers within, so the distribution system's hampered. That was suspended as soon as the bombing began. They then resumed, but at a lower pace, while aid agencies leveled scathing condemnations of U.S. airdrops, condemning them as propaganda tools, which are probably doing more harm than good. And that happens to be quoting from the London Financial Times, but it's easy to continue. After the first week of bombing, the New York Times reported in a back page inside a column on something else that by the arithmetic of the United Nations, there will soon be 7.5 million Afghans in acute need of even a loaf of bread, and there are only a few weeks left before the harsh winter will make deliveries to many areas totally impossible. Continuing to quote, but with bombs falling, the delivery rate is down to what one half of what is needed. Casual comment. Which tells us that Western civilization is anticipating the slaughter of, well, do the arithmetic.
They see the United States with 5% of the world population gobbling up 40% of the world's resources and then calling it gross national product and progress for humankind.
Don't have to suffer as a result, and people on Wall Street don't tell you that because they want to keep your money to manage, but there are times when you just need to tuck it away in a nice safe spot.
You look at them, you say, God, I did it, I'm good, you know, and you flush it away, and then there's a sense of sadness when just the water is there. It's like writing a good poem, you just do it. It's a beer shoot. Nothing to analyze, there's nothing to say, it's just done. Got it?
Well, although it doesn't sound as good, It stood in the grooves better because it was shaped like a nail versus like an elliptical stylus that was built like a backwards J. But as soon as you would bring the disc back, it would fall out of the groove. So, you know, all these things had to come into play.
If he is indeed the monster we fear he is, and as it is whispered throughout this valley, do not hesitate to cut off his head. We will await and bear you away to safety.
Radio. Radio. The old-fashioned headsets, and today used still with radios.
What they know is it's simply using up the bounty at their expense. How do we begin thinking in terms of sustainable economics here in this country, not just overseas and development policy? We'll talk about it in a minute. So, we call this the age of growth. The age of growth. Do we ever grow anything? Do we ever grow anything?
Thing to be aware of while listening to the Nahuatl is that a very important aspect of the poetic form was the way in which words were constructed by setting two separate images side by side, which together suggested a third. Thus, you will hear long strings of words, compound words, or images, which build up a cinematic montage rather than a continuous narrative line.
Tom Mix and Sheriff Mike are trying to solve the oddest mystery of their career. For an entire village of 600 people has disappeared.
3 to 4 million people, something like that. On the same day, the leader of Western civilization, dismissed with contempt, once again, offers of negotiation for delivery of the alleged target, Osama bin Laden, and a request for some evidence to substantiate the demand for total capitulation is dismissed. On the same day, the special rapporteur of the United Nations in charge of food pleaded with the United States to stop the bombing to try to save millions of victims.
In fact, there were some individual Army intelligence people in Dallas. I'm still trying to figure out who and why. But they weren't protecting the client. And, of course, Oswald. Army intel had a Harvey Lee Oswald on file.
Of the dead, only one sand jumping up to thee. They have sent me in search of the dazzling dead, and their faces blurring into mist behind the hill. Only one song, crazed purpose. Enactment in a land. What was granted on that first time out over the shadows? They were filling every crooked palace of my eyes' hollows that look and lunged on that first walk out. Spoken first was how all of this, every least part, must be supernaturally clear, illumined on the eternal tables. A shift. What was spoken on the first part about the fresh, the vivid, the hole and the vortex, were worlds pierced ideas with an absolute embrace, and allowed themselves to exist in beauty. What was spoken from moment to moment, revolving in a clear space, without confusion. And the doors opened. The entire map appeared. Plan of the whole. Worlds appearing. Crashing into perfection like unimaginable powerful and efficient weapons. Stars consume us with longing. Boulders reach for us like lovers. And we enter singing. We have gone nowhere. What was seen with a thousand eyes of us, at the brink of all, suns, glory of mists, cleared from the entryways across the valley floor, and the keepers who wait at the gates of the plan. Distant spot where it may revolve forever on its own delicate pivot. In a style to which it is accustomed. Safe from me until time is no more. And every gate to the plan, and every threshold of every gate, and every approach from the far places, and every cloud that hovers above the plan, desiring wind, and the gleaming sky, cries of the ecstatic iron bird find us, now that we know, and the shift has shown us, and we are walking with ourselves, into the shaking air needing nothing, and all being has become as breath over the transfigured spaces. Into the house of the heart on that first time. Into the plan through the gate of the first time.
I was unaware
time.
That was unreported. It was Monday. Yesterday, the aid, major aid agencies, Oxfam and other Christian Aid and others, joined in that plea. You find a report in the New York Times. There was a line in the Boston Globe hidden in a story about another topic, Kashmir.
Sliding down the air of the million and one desires of the unnamed God penetrated us who are empty of all wisdom at last. The gate of entry was passed. And night fell over the distant ranges. Here, where it all began, as the ground trembles, the wraiths of what was ungod, anything before, bestows itself prostrate before us, prepared for annihilation, engraved on the ground where we walk is this warning. Everything is now destroyed. Do not seek to be anything other than this. You will be divested of every garment until none remain. What is born must become whole by annihilation. By the gates of the first time. By the glittering flight of arrows into all twilights of knowing. By the din of the waning light. What was spoken, what was heard, what was seen beyond the shift.
Look, I don't want to be an ant, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't want to be an ant either. Yeah, thanks for kind of, like, jostling me there. I've been kind of on zombie autopilot lately. I don't feel like an ant in my head, but I guess I probably look like one. It's kind of like D.H. Lawrence had this idea of two people meeting on a road, and instead of just passing and glancing away, they decide to accept what he calls the confrontation between their souls. It's like freeing the brave, reckless gods within us all.
Then it's like we have met.
So I'm doing this project, and I'm hoping maybe you'll be interested in doing it. It's a soap opera, and so the characters are the fantasy lives, or the alter egos of the performers who are in it. So pretty much just figure out something you've always wanted to do, or life you've always wanted to lead, or occupation, or something like that, and we write that in, and then we also have your life intersect with other people's in the soap operas in some typical soap opera fashion. And then I also want to show it in a live venue and have the actors present so that once the episode is screened, then the audience can direct the actors for subsequent episodes with menus or something. So it has a lot to do with choices and honoring people's ability to say what it is that they want to see, and also consumerism and art and commodity, and if you don't like what you got, then you can send it back, or you get what you pay for, or just participating, just really, you know, making choices. So you want to do it?
It's a 40 karat gold plated inlaid base.
Oh, Andy, I just love it. This really means something to me. I'll always treasure it as a token.
No, you won't. This is for the girl who loves me. The girl who cares about me for who I am. Not what I look like. I just wanted you to know you'd be missing. You think I don't appreciate art? You think I don't understand fashion? You think I'm not hip? You think I'm pathetic? A nerd? A lard ass fatso? You think I'm shit? Well, you're wrong. I'm champagne, and your shit, until the day you die, you, not me, will always be shit.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I'd love to be in it, but, I gotta ask you a question first, though. I know how to say it, but, what's it like to be a character in a dream? Because, I'm not awake right now. I haven't even worn a watch since I'm in fourth grade. I think this is the same watch, too. I don't even know if you're able to answer that question, but I'm just trying to get like a sense of where I am and what's going on.
And this was a small cloud, so we could do this, not like
a big
one.
That's easier. Yeah. Partly it's easier because of our belief and expectation, but partly it's easier because it helps us focus more clearly.
So many people communicate with animals in the Hunaway. What is that experience like? Is it like a conversation?
Well, there's a number of ways to do it, but again, animals seem to either relate better to imagery, or imagery is a better for us as a means of communication, one with one or the other.
The language of symbol, you mean?
The language of symbols, that's
mm-hmm.
right.
Okay.
And they respond to that better than they do to words. So words might be used to help you focus, but maybe it's possible that they think more in symbolic terms as well.
So what about you? What's your name? What's your address?
Come one with and merge totally. And in that merging, communication takes place, not words, but created thought.
Except acknowledge the destruction of the polite fiction. The polite fiction is something nobody really believes, but we all pretend to because it makes life so much easier. An anthropology professor once told me a story about a pygmy couple. Pygmy divorce involves, quite literally, breaking up the home. The couple tears apart their house, and once it's down, the union is dissolved. One anthropologist was watching a long-married couple have a fight. It escalated until the wife threatened to leave, and the husband yelled something along the lines of, "Fine." And so there was nothing the wife could do but start tearing down the house. She began tearing off the leaves that made up the roof, clearly miserable. The husband looked wretched too, but at this point neither could back down without losing face, and by now the whole village was watching.
I can't really remember right now. I can't really recall that, but that's...
Three short poems using the flower and song imagery.
That's beside the point whether or not I can dredge up this information about, you know, my address or, you know, my mom's maiden name or whatnot.
I'm a dear friend of...
What R.N. Eliot described
discovered back in the late 1930s was something quite remarkable. He said, you know, I have looked hard at all manner of trends in finance. I've looked at annual data, I've looked at monthly data, weekly, daily, even kept an hourly chart of stock prices. And he was quite surprised to find that the patterns and forms that prices took were the same regardless of the scale. He could look at a chart that was, say, an hourly graph, and he could look at a yearly, and if he showed them to someone and said, can you tell which is which, they'd say, well, no, they look about the same.
I've got the benefit in this reality, if you want to call that, of a consistent perspective.
What is your consistent perspective?
What he discovered was something that scientists about 20 years ago began to popularize as the latest thing, and that's called a fractal.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a little difficult to understand, but very simply, a fractal is something that has a lot of similarity on all of its scales, whether you're looking at the small scale or the large. So Elliot found that simply empirically, and then he began to realize that there was a principle behind what he saw because the patterns were the same. And once you learn what the patterns of psychological movement are, when people start out extremely pessimistic and they go through a set of psychological stages until they become overly optimistic, you can recognize those stages to some degree. You've got a pretty good handle on what's likely to happen next. You never know for sure because it's a game of probability.
Sure.
But that probability can give you the edge that lets you make money on Wall Street and, more important in my opinion, keep it.
Does it factor...
Back in 1998, late 98, when the advanced decline line topped out, that means the average stock was topping at that time, one of my associates, Pete Kendall, is a very sharp guy, began to write articles for our publication, and he said, when the trend changes to downward, look out because you're going to be reading accounting scandals on the front pages of the newspapers. Well, why did we know that? Because we went back 150 years, studied all of the major stock market tops, mm-hmm. what the events were that followed, and in every case, the shenanigans that were going on in companies preceded the peak. And that's because people were so optimistic, they didn't want to know anything that was going on inside the corporations, and particularly if it was negative, stock prices are going up, who cares?
Exactly.
As soon as they turned down, all of a sudden people began to get angry, their mood changed, and they began to point fingers, and that's when the scandals come to light.
Well, the Dow was right over 8,000. I mean, can it drop?
It's mostly just me dealing with a lot of people who are exposing me to information and ideas that seem vaguely familiar.
Finally, the husband called out the pygmy equivalent of, "You're right, honey, the roof is dirty. It'll look much better once we get those leaves washed." The two of them started carrying leaves down to the river, soon with the help of the whole village, and then washed and rebuilt the roof. A whole village happily indulging each other. The polite fiction of our village, the porn section village, is that while people do generally use porn for the purpose of self-pleasuring, there is no reason to believe that this particular customer will be doing so. For all we know, he's taking them to a stag party, or watching them as a joke with his girlfriend, or using them for research on his master's thesis.
It's all very alien to me.
Able to even start doing any cutting, scratching, or whatever the case may be.
You must have been pretty obsessive.
You know, trying to get my hands on the right needle. You know, I had to go through countless needles, you know, trying to find the right turntable. I had to go through countless turntables, and then finding the right mixer, and then finding the right mixer, but then it didn't have a system where I can pre-hear the music in my head, so I had to create something called the peekaboo system. So I had to, like, actually jury-rig these things, you know, in my frustration. My frustration kept me more, fueled the fire to me just staying at this and, you know, throwing away my teenage years, you know, where, you know, your teenage years is when, you know, you're feeling your oats and you want to go hang out with the girls and you want to go to the parties and stuff. I think I probably lived either like in a junkyard, going through like abandoned stereo equipment, or going through abandoned cars, taking out the speakers and the radios and stuff of that nature.
Let's look at it from the standpoint of valuation. In 1929, at the very top minute, the Dow Industrial Average had a dividend that was approximately 3% of the price of Dow stocks. At the high in 2000, it got all the way down to 1.5%. So in order to get the Dow priced at the same expensiveness as it was in the top minute in 1929, it would have to fall in half from its high, which would be about 6,000. And that would only get you down to the 1929 high. So if you want to get oversold, if you want to get cheap stocks, if you want to get stocks valued the way they are typically at a bear market low, then you're talking quite a bit lower than that. I'm not saying we have to go there, but that's potential, and that's why people need to be safe now.
I'm not in an objective, rational world. Like, I have been, like, flying around.
Effect on this mood?
Well, no, but it does result from those mood changes. If you check the history books, you'll find that wars in almost every case follow declines in the stock market. Now, why is that? I think it's because a declining stock market is our best meter of a negative social mood. And when that comes about, people are angrier, the economy contracts, so they're poorer, they get more fearful of others, and all of those forces combine to make people essentially end up fighting each other.
Interesting. Well, so does our soul, it seems to me. Speaking of symbolic terms.
There's a lot more content.
I think that's our primary language. Yeah.
Right.
So, well, tell me about an experience of communicating with an animal.
Oh, well, let's see. One time I was hiking with my wife. We used to walk along a particular road, and there was a very mean and angry dog would come rushing out always and, bar the path and threaten us.
I don't know. It's weird, too, because it's not like a fixed state. It's more like this whole spectrum of awareness.
Well, one day, I was not in a good mood. That happened in those days, occasionally. And so he came rushing out, and I imagined a huge wolf by my side, growling at this dog. And right there in front, the dog stopped, tucked its tail in, and ran whimpering back to its house. Now, I felt bad about that. Well, I decided there had to be a better way to do it than that. So next time we came along that road and the dog started to come out, barking the same way. Why? What I imagined was the dog's master. I didn't have to have a particular face or sex. I didn't know. But I imagined the dog's master petting it, comforting it. And the dog immediately quieted down and didn't even bother coming out. I wasn't afraid because we passed, and when we passed it, it was sitting there calmly. So that was a much better way to communicate. But interestingly, both of them had an effect.
You bet.
Like the lucidity waivers. Like right now I know that I'm dreaming, right? And where are you like even talking about it? This is the most in myself and in my thoughts that I've been so far. I'm talking about being in a dream. But I'm beginning to think that it's something that I don't really have any precedent for.
As they had bidden her, Psyche concealed a lamp and dagger, and when her husband fell into his first sleep, she arose silently and lighted the lamp.
It's totally unique. The quality of the environment and the information that I'm receiving, like your soap opera, for example. That's a really cool idea. I didn't come up with that. It's like something outside of myself, like something like transmitted to me externally. I don't know what this is.
We seem to think we're so limited by the world and the confines, but we're really just creating them. And you keep trying to figure it out, but it seems like now that you know that what you're doing is dreaming, you can do whatever you want to. You're dreaming, but you're awake. You have so many options.
That's what we were born for, isn't it? To stand on a new world and look beyond it to the next one.
When it becomes graphically, tangibly clear that that's not the case, we all get uncomfortable.
Been no exceptions. Every major decline has led to a war in the past 200 years, and we're in that kind of situation now. There are forces around the world that are beginning to become more in the direction of clash rather than reconciliation. Do you remember during the last 5 years of the 90s, we had all of the flowering of a positive mood that we had been in for 15 to 20 years. We had the Soviet Union broke up, communists gave up power, the Berlin Wall came down. We had various religions apologizing, shaking hands for things that they had been fighting about for 500 years. And that was a tremendous peaceful time, a cooperative time, and that was the result of a positive social mood.
And then there is a disengagement of that melting process. And we would suggest that's how we communicate and ask how's the weather in that sense. What did you do last night? And how is mother after all? And things of that nature on our levels with those who are also functioning on our level. Right, you and your levels have this, the vocal cord system and this mouth and this very definite form that you can touch and see the beginnings and ends of. And you talk. And you interchange, and you become one with ideas and with thoughts. And when you reach a certain level where those words don't work anymore, you turn to other forms of communication, non-verbal, a look, a smile, a touch. And when those are limited and don't quite work for the expression that you want to suggest, then you too can become one with another person by joining your body sexually. And therefore that oneness, and through the chemistry of that oneness, the stimulation, not so much the stimulation of the genitals, but the stimulation of thought.
And that's what life is about.
Hmm.
understand what you're saying. It's up to me. I'm the dreamer. I don't know, it's weird, like, so much of the information that these people have been, like, imparting to me, I don't know, it's got this, like, really heavy connotation to it.
The destruction of the polite fiction is what creeps me out about one of my weekend regulars. He comes in when I open at 9, then chooses and rents 2 movies. He leaves for exactly 2 movies worth of time, then comes back and returns them.
Most kids have mobiles. He had a swastika flag. Then my second son came, and then in the room there was a swastika flag and a Confederate flag, both in the room.
Kalski used his elective office to perpetrate an extensive fraud on the American people.
To stand on a new world and look beyond it to the next one. It's who we are.
Well, how do you feel?
Now, this is when my second son was born, is when I slowly started to look at things differently. I started to question things that I hadn't been questioning for some time. I was still reading a lot of books. I do like to read. I do that quite often, even though I have a mild form of dyslexia. I have to read a book 2 or 3 times, but once I get the book very, very well. So I really started to question a lot of things that I had been taking for granted for quite too long. And I started to get some of the answers, and some of the answers I got were not the answers I wanted to get.
What do you mean?
Well, I wanted to get the pad answered to keep my racism going and keep my racism flowing. The reality was, is that's not the way it was working. It was actually going in the opposite direction. I was teaching my kids to be racist, educating them to be racist, but I didn't understand the extent of that I was doing it to them until my youngest son was saying stuff like, I hate Jews, I hate the federal government, I hate, you know, he would say niggers. And then I'm sitting there going, you know, this kid doesn't even know what he's talking about, man.
Well, yeah, sometimes I feel kind of isolated, but most of the time I feel really connected, really, like, engaged in this active process.
As totally as if it had never existed. Worse than that, 2 men, obviously somehow connected with the disappearance of the village, have been murdered.
Radio means nothing to a deaf person.
Trend change 2.5 years ago, we're beginning to see this is also having results.
So I can predict that we probably will go into Iraq now, huh?
Well, I hesitate to be too specific on things like that, but I would think over the next 2 years that's more likely than not for them. For that very reason. If the market had already bottomed and we were heading up again, I would say, well, maybe we might avoid it. But because there are probably 2 more years to go in this bear market, conservatively speaking, I would say the chances of more conflict are very high.
which is kind of weird because most of the time I've just been really passive and not really responding, well, except for now, I guess. I'm just kind of like letting the information wash over me.
It's not necessarily passive.
Dino Balderas will read the poem in Nahuatl.
I hate it because there's no way to pretend he's been doing anything else. Even a grad student has to stop the tape to take down notes occasionally. I'm convinced that porn is like alcohol. Some people can stop at just one every now and then. Some people binge on weekends. And some people are genuinely horribly addicted. Most of my customers skew towards light porn rental. I see maybe half of them enough to sort of know who they are, and of those, maybe half again are heavy renters. A few tip into the danger zone. 6 movies every single day.
To not respond verbally, or communicating on so many levels.
She screams bloody murder, and then I wanna flip her ass over and...
He was lived in my room more so, you know, just looking for something, you know.
Did you have the money? Did you have the money?
Didn't know what these internal parts was.
Simultaneously. Perhaps you're perceiving directly.
And I was tearing up all the stuff inside my mother's house and became like public enemy number one with my sisters.
Most of the people that I've been encountering and most of the things that I would want to say, it's like they kind of say it for me and almost like at my cue.
Tom is determined to find the answer to the mystery, not only because the people must be found and the murderers apprehended, but also because Sergeant Hank Smith of the United States Army is desperately anxious to find the girl he came home to marry.
Might be just as well delayed until a more satisfactory time. We certainly recommend thorough and complete physical examinations by one's own physician, and he may give advice not only concerning exercise and diet, but also examine one for possible hormone deficiency.
Colorado, Mississippi. The Allegheny, and the Wabash.
It's like complete unto itself. It's not like I'm having a bad dream. It's a great dream.
Now let me tell you what I mean. After the election, Peter Jennings said that the American voters were acting like two-year-olds having a temper tantrum. Wrong. The American people are not children, and the government is not our parent.
Miles have been destroyed. Many strange things were happening, and your Lee Harvey Oswald had nothing to do with them.
Dream I've ever had before. It's like the dream. It's like I'm being prepared for something.
Be interested in working with blind people and lucid dreams, because there's the case to say, look, we're all blind when we're asleep, right?
structure of the house. If right at the center of the house you have a bathroom with toilet, or you have a kitchen with stove, then both cases it's not good. Because if you have the bathroom at the center, then probably no matter how hard you earn money, the money would somehow be flushed.
Yes, that's the way it seems.
And pump her even more. And it's so hard that my dick shoots right through her.
People who like big government just cannot fathom that most Americans are capable of taking care of themselves, their families, and their neighbors.
In a way, in our contemporary worldview, it's easy to think that science has come to take the place of God.
How do you think the economy is doing overall? Let's kick out what's going on with some of these fraudulent CEOs for a moment.
Well, when Greenspan went on television, he said, and quite accurately, that there were some measures of the economy that were showing strength. But it's important to realize that just like these incidents of peace and reconciliation or incidents of war, the economy also lags the stock market. The stock market is our single best leading indicator of the economy. So the stock market rallied from last September at the bottom all the way into March, and by some measures even into April of this year.
It was a pretty dramatic jump, wasn't it?
A very dramatic rally, and that's why we're getting the positive economic numbers in March, April, May, June, and even in July, because those numbers lag. People felt better, their mood improved for a while, and that made them more productive, so you get a better economy. At least that's the way I see things developing. So now we know the stock market has just made a new low for the last 2.5 years, actually about the last 3.5 years.
Right.
And that means we're going to see more economic contraction in coming months. So expect those numbers come down, expect consumer confidence to retreat, and we should see a shot upward in unemployment and so forth. The stock market is a great, great hint of what's coming.
But some philosophical problems remain as troubling as ever.
Only companies that would do well would be those that stayed absolutely squeaky clean, because if they did anything else, then the principals would know that they would have to foot the bill. If you happened to
Morning, sir.
Hi there, fella. Where'd you come from, out of a crater?
I guess I did. Can I see your driver's license, please?
Speed limit 60 miles an hour, right? This little horse kind of gets away from me once in a while.
Well, you're going to have to take a tighter rein, because it did clock you doing almost 90 a ways back there. Hmm. Could I see the license?
Oh, sure.
Police officer. Detectives.
Yes, Los Angeles.
That's a coincidence, you see, because I hope to change this uniform for a suit myself just any day now.
Well, luck to you there, Tom.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Could you take the license out for me, please?
You gotta be kidding. You gonna give me a ticket?
I'm afraid so, sir.
Take the problem of free will. This problem's been around for a long time, since before Aristotle in 350 B.C. St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, these guys all worried about how we can be free if God already knows in advance everything you're going to do.
But then he recognized one of the ways he was going to do that was by practicing TM. And I think it was fairly effective for him. I think he was able to center himself and sort of locate his middle precisely at a moment when he needed it most. Without TM at the time, I think Howard might have flown out of the building.
You have orgasmic relations, orgasmic experiences.
Nowadays, we know that the world operates according to some fundamental physical laws.
Explosive, orgasmic experiences.
And these laws govern the behavior of every object in the world.
That the physical being can accomplish and can perchance move into understanding and getting a grasp ever so brief of what ordinary communication is like on higher levels.
Laws, because they're so trustworthy, they enable incredible technological achievements. But look at yourself. We're just physical systems too, right? We're just complex arrangements of carbon molecules. We're mostly water.
I'm playing with the visual and the verbal connections on paper. And then when I'm reading, then the verbal and the music coming together. It's sound. It's about sound. The sound of the poetry against the sound of the music. The way I work is improvised or invented off of the word. It's like the call and response pattern, which is an old African pattern. I am making statements or I'm asking questions, and the music is responding to me, and I'm responding back to them.
And our behavior isn't going to be an exception to these basic physical laws. So it starts to look like whether it's God setting things up in advance and knowing everything you're going to do, or whether it's these basic physical laws governing everything.
Even with specials and frequent renter cards, they end up spending thousands of dollars a year. On weekends, the store fills up almost immediately. The store opens at 9. I usually do about 20 minutes of setup and hit the front door at 9 on the dot by the store clock. There is always someone waiting to get to the porn. Twice I've had a problem to deal with and open the door at, say, 9:02.
There's not a lot of room left for freedom. So I might be tempted to just ignore the question, ignore the mystery of free will. Say, oh, well, it's just a historical anecdote. It's sophomoric. It's a question with no answer.
Range 6783 and closing 65 minutes until Mars orbital capture.
Okay, people, let's look sharp now. We're going to run this simulation one more time. Remember, if we overshoot, there's no coming back.
You know, just forget about it. But the question keeps staring you right in the face. Think about individuality, for example, who you are.
And drifting through eternity will ruin your whole day.
Okay, Delta V systems initialized.
Charge primary APU.
Engaged and charged.
Who you are is mostly a matter of the free choices that you make or take responsibility. You can only be held responsible. You can only be found guilty, or you can only be admired or respected for things you did of your own free will.
Select HPU fuel cells for run.
Engaged.
Time main bus to systems.
Power ready.
Out the help of big government. The other day I read an article about Carol Doe Porter of Houston, Texas. She runs Kid Care. It's a volunteer group that delivers 18,000 meals per month to the poor. They accept help from everybody, but not one dime from the government. And here's what Carol said. We have to go back to what made America great. And that's the people helping people concept. I'm so sick and tired of having everyone say,
"Bill." So the question keeps coming back, and we don't really have a solution to it. It starts to look like all your decisions are really just a charade.
In Xochitl, in Cuicac, que no san tlamatian noyolo, ni cac in Cuicac, ni quita in Xochitl.
When you visit these two fine shopping centers, you'll find more than 80 beautiful stores with sparkling assortments, an attractive atmosphere.
Cases, a guy was actually pounding on the door when I got to it. Not the same guy, either. Both guys almost flipped out when I took the time to slide the sign from closed to open before turning the lock. When I first started at the store, this scared the hell out of me. I assumed that anyone who needed porn before noon was automatically a pervert. That was until I got to know them. If you don't count the porn addiction, they're really not such bad guys. Mr. Orange Hat is a registered nurse and leapt to my defense when another customer pitched a fit at me. Mr. Glasses is always announcing stuff like, "It's that kind of personal service that sets your store apart from Blockbuster." The overfriendliness itself is sort of creepy, as is the way he sort of doesn't blink enough and doesn't know that most business transactions don't really involve sustained eye contact. But I know that he's just trying his hardest, in his own mutant way, to be friendly. Mr. Creaky was old and feeble, but would rent a stack of disturbingly violent cartoon porn from Japan at least once a week. He always had the same patter as he came up to the register. "Do you watch that show, The Sopranos?" "No, sir." "I hear it's pretty good." "Yes, sir, that's what I hear too."
Think about how it happens. There's some electrical activity in your brain. Your neurons fire, they send a signal down into your nervous system, it passes along down into your muscle fibers, they twitch, you might, say, reach out your arm. Looks like it's a free action on your part, but every part of that process...
You know, he has no idea what he's even doing. I see, I was just totally indoctrinating my son.
Yeah, but isn't that what you wanted him to think anyways?
Well, I wanted him to think that way, but I also wanted him to be a little more, I guess, an independent thinker. And then I also thought about what his life was going to be. I mean, if his life was his dad's life, man, that was really no life at all. I mean, it really wasn't.
Thank you. Take a good look at this, fella. It says Los Angeles Police Department detective, right?
I'm John Wintergreen, Stockman Motors. And I have to write you up. If you just be patient for 1 minute.
You're a joke, fella.
Is actually governed by physical law, chemical laws, electrical laws, and so on.
Unless he has an interpreter.
Singer is gone, where shall I go for the song? Without your melody and taste to lend an attitude of grace, a lyric is an orphan thing, a hive with neither honey's taste nor power to truly sting.
So now it starts to look like the Big Bang set up the initial conditions, and the whole rest of our history, the whole rest of human history and even before, is really just sort of the playing out of subatomic particles according to these basic fundamental physical laws. We think we're special. We think we have some kind of special dignity.
But with me being a father, a businessman, me staying in Compton would mean me having to deal with the same situations as I dealt with as a teenager. I moved out to the community where I could walk out my front door and wouldn't have to see gang fighting and shit like that, because I lived in that shit all my life.
Well, we'll do this, and then we'll come back and we'll play some more music for you.
But that now comes under threat. I mean, that's really challenged by this picture. So you might be saying, well, wait a minute, what about quantum mechanics? I know enough contemporary physical theory to know it's not really like that. It's really a probabilistic theory. There's room, it's loose, it's not deterministic. And that's going to enable us to understand free will. But if you look at the details, it's not really going to help, because what happens is you have some very small quantum particles, and their behavior is apparently a bit random. They sort of swerve. Their behavior is absurd in the sense that it's unpredictable, and we can't understand it based on anything that came before. It just does something out of the blue.
Morning.
Morning.
Can I see your driver's license, please? Why don't you step out here?
And of course, plenty of free parking for all the cars that we capitalists seem to acquire.
My mother decided to send me to school.
What kind of school?
Samuel Gompers Vocational and Technical High School. And that's where I started to understand, like, what is a resistor, what is a capacitor, what is AC versus DC, what is a transformer, what's a push-pull circuit, what's a diode rectifier.
According to a probabilistic framework. But is that going to help with freedom? I mean, should our freedom just be a matter of probabilities, just some random swerving in a chaotic system?
What's transistor rise versus tubes, and what's an ohmmeter, and what's an oscilloscope, and what's a wave, and you know, I started like actually understanding as I was, you know, not so now when I tore into something, I sort of had somewhat of an idea of what it is and what it did. So all these things helped me to jury rig and put together, you know, this peekaboo system to a mix that I didn't have it.
That starts to seem like it's worse. I'd rather be a gear in a big deterministic physical machine than just some random swerving.
Select H2O2 HPU and fuel cells for open.
H2O2 fuel valves open.
Charge flow.
Charged and online.
So we can't just ignore the problem. We have to find room in our contemporary worldview for
PW.
Set.
Transfer protocol data from EVA station.
Transferred. Awaiting track confirmation.
Meteoroids.
Persons, with all that that entails, not just bodies, but persons.
Kill
that
alarm.
Means trying to solve the problem of freedom, finding room for choice and responsibility, and trying to understand individuality.
Critical systems alert. Critical systems alert.
Breach hits in the hull.
We're outgassing, losing pressure.
What do you see of the breach? Looks like it's behind Jim's helmet.
90% atmosphere. Critical systems alert. Critical systems alert.
Fast. We're going to decompress. Computer, how long till zero atmosphere?
4 minutes, 9 seconds.
Still outgassing in the lower hab. Must be another hole down there. It's got to be a big one.
Everybody switch to suit oxygen. Jim, you got the ship. I'm going EVA.
Copy.
Come on, people. Let's work the problem.
...80% atmosphere.
Jim, you gotta go get your spare helmet. Copy that, Jim?
There's no time. All the systems have crashed. I gotta shut down the hab from below.
We're losing pressure, Jim. You could embolize.
...70% atmosphere.
I was a glorified gang member is what I was. And he would have to go through the same aspects of gang life that I had to go through. And I didn't know if he could cut it.
What else were you exposed to that made you challenge this white supremacist beliefs that you'd held for so long?
I actually started talking with people that were black, Hispanic, again, talking to them about different issues.
Why not
what, you know, and people who know what sight is should be able to have visual experiences in their dreams if they can remember that that's a function that they know what it is and can do. Helen Keller, by the way, had fascinating dreams. You should read her article on dreams sometime. She described seeing a pearl, for example, in which she saw level on level of beautiful crystal layers of softness, and you know, it really seemed like she was seeing a pearl in a very poetic way.
Her mind must have.
Public television, TV for the people. TV by the people is what public access is all about. When cable came along in the 1970s with...
But when she looked down at her sleeping lover, she saw not a misshapen monster, but a being of glorious beauty.
I find that to be pretty interesting. No, I'm coming over here. See how far I can go. Oh, yeah. These are the people that didn't want to commit themselves to me early on. Would you help me here?
Hey, man, what are you doing here?
I fancy myself the social lubricator of the dream world, helping people become lucid a little easier. You know, cut out all that fear and anxiety stuff and just rock and roll.
By becoming lucid, you mean just knowing that you're dreaming, right?
Yeah, and then you can control it.
What is your name? Shashila. Very nice, attractive woman. Take a look. Not one molecule in her face will be here in a year from now. Boy, nice and warm. My hands are freezing, aren't they?
I think Jerry should be remembered as a great artist and as a great musician. And I think the most important thing to remember about great musicians is this. Their best work is probably not on record. The greatest musicians, and I was privileged to see many of them who are now dead, it was between you and them. It was how good were they on the night you saw them. When you sat in the house and that woman or that guy played or sang stuff that made your hair stand straight up. And you knew that they were doing something in the moment that was magical. And I think there are hundreds of thousands of people who had that interactive experience with Jerry Garcia. And as long as they live, his memory lives. And I think that's really what it was all about.
I've had many, many stories from students, older students, who've said, when I was in fifth grade, my teacher said to me, stop being an artist, you're no good, become a scientist. And
that my cum squirts out of her mouth.
Okay. Thank you. You know, you guys are early, man. I only counted on getting stopped once every 50 miles. Here in Arcadia, you guys are 20 miles early. Incredible. A first.
Looks like we got ourselves a wise ass here, John.
Hey. David?
Yeah?
I'm John. Are you a wise ass?
Not at all, man.
Head up, boy.
Can't you just get me my ticket for doing 40 and a 45 and let me split, you know?
Just what is it you got to hide?
Man, I'm not hiding nothing, man. I'm just tired of getting cracked for the way I look. You know, it's a drag. It gets to be a drag.
Well, why don't you change the way you look?
They're more realistic and less bizarre than non-lucid dreams.
You know, I just woke from a dream. It wasn't like a typical dream. It seemed more like I'd walked into an alternate universe or something.
Yeah, it's real.
Hey.
Matter of fact, all you gotta do is just stand there. I'll change it for you. Where you say I get those slicers out, Big John? Just what is it you carry in there anyway?
Posters, beads, general hippie regalia, you know, the whole routine.
Well, let's get it all out there so we can see it.
Oh, man. Come on, man. Like, what a drag. I don't want to
wait. David? Bus, man. Well, tell me you weren't a wise ass.
You're not.
If you asked to see everything, why don't you just take it out and put it down here on the highway? You're going to be a lot better off. Will you take my advice?
Hey, what are we here, Big John? A picture of us?
You look a little heavy there, Zimmer.
That looks like you.
I'm what you might call the distributor. I distribute to all the head shops between Santa Fe and Albuquerque, all this stuff.
Son, you're what I might call a dealer.
Hey, Dave. Come here. Now, just between you and me. Are you holding anything you shouldn't be?
No way, man. I'm totally cool, man. I'm telling you, it's my gig. I sell this stuff to people.
Okay. Pack it up.
Out of sight. Out of sight. I need it.
You want to remove them hubcaps for inspection?
Go ahead. It'll take you 5 minutes. You'll be out of here. Come on.
I mean, technically, it's a phenomenon of sleep. But you can have so much damn fun in your dreams. And
girl who lived in the village which has vanished. In a moment, we'll ride an action-packed trail of adventure.
Of course, everyone knows fun rules.
Yeah.
So what was going on in your dream?
Figure out, you know, how turntables work and how that works. So it kind of helped me to put together the system so that I can start on getting this concept out of my head that just kept... you know, it just kept staying in my head.
A lot of people, a lot of talking. You know, some of it was kind of absurdist, like from a strange movie or something. Most of it was just people going off about whatever.
You said to me, stop being an artist, you're no good, become a scientist.
Please listen to what you're saying. Look, I can deal with a body being moved. I can even deal with a body getting up and leaving. But when you start talking about his other body, her other body, people being duplicated, will you listen to how that sounds?
Movie. The shimmering effect of the movie screen.
Really intensely, I woke up wondering, where did all this stuff come from?
You can control that, you know.
And not that I could ever actually do that. She only knew how I felt. Yeah, deep down, I really cared for her, respected her, that she would love me back. Maybe. She doesn't even know I exist. I mean, she knows I exist. I mean, we are neighbors, you know. We, you know, smile politely at each other, but I don't know. I could ever really begin to talk to her. I mean, what can I talk about? I have nothing to talk about. I'm boring. But I know. I've been told before, so don't tell me it's not true, because it's a fact.
I bore people. People look at me and they get bored. People listen to me and they zone out. Bored. Who is that boring person? They think. I've never before met anyone so boring. I'm rare to see how boring I am.
Camel's skin milk.
No, no.
Dozen eggs. One of those disposable cans.
Rare to see how boring I am. No.
I can stop at the 7-Eleven on the way home.
No, no.
I gotta get the dry cleaning for trash.
Better I say nothing.
I gotta check Billy's homework. And call Mrs. Mitchell about her appointment on Tuesday.
You know what I'm gonna do? And the next time I see her, as soon as I see her, I'm just gonna tell her. I'm gonna tell her that I, find her.
You have these dreams all the time?
Hell yeah, I'm always going to make the best of it. But the trick is, you got to realize that you're dreaming in the first place.
Being creative is making not only comments on what you're doing, but extending that, taking it out and exploring the possibilities of poetry and the music together.
A very fine kunga of sweat. A very fine stomp of the right foot. A very fine platform of sticks. A very fine tube of frictional groans. A very fine can of belligerent growl. A very fine hoop of cubano yell. Very fine, very fine, very fine. Is there anyone finer? Oye! Lukumi, a bakwa, Lukumi, a bakwa, Lukumi, a bakwa, oye! I see Chano Pozo. Chano Pozo from Havana, Cuba, hey, you're the one! You're the one who made Atamo into a tattooed motivator of revolutionary spirit. You're the one. You're the one who made him heavy into an activated slasher of lies. You're the one. You're the one who made Dono into an armpit of inflammable explosives. You're the one. You're the one who made Obonu into a circle of signifying snakes. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one who made our pom-pom's head strike against the head of a bird. Every night, every day, in your criss-crossing chant, in your cross-river mouth, you're the one. You're the one. You're the one. Oh, yeah. Lukumi, abakwa, Lukumi, abakwa, Lukumi, abakwa, Lukumi, abakwa, ole, okay.
You gotta be able to recognize it. You gotta be able to ask yourself, hey man, is this a dream?
Things that would lead to it, such as the situation in Iraq that is currently going, such as the circumstances in the unfolding of your American foreign policy.
See, most people never ask themselves that when they're awake, or especially when they're asleep.
Many of my students haven't drawn since fourth grade, so we have to peel back those years of hurt. And the wonderful thing, because I'm a naturalist, is students discover the plant form itself directly, not the object of their drawing, which is a good drawing, but they discover trees and birds and leaves and mountains and sky. And that, to me, is why I'm teaching people to draw.
Policy. But
Some experts claim that covert action does not work in the interest of the U.S. national security, nor does it create a more stable world.
Seems like everyone's sleepwalking through their waking state or wakewalking through their dreams. Either way, they're not going to get much out of it.
Phil, you've got to get the nav computers back online.
Jim, I've got an idea. If you guys can save enough atmosphere, I'll disconnect the power in the main computer bay and jumpstart the systems. I'd basically be doing a hard boot.
As a matter of fact, it looks even too easy when he's painting. The only time that I seen him frustrated was when he had an operation on his eyes in the late 60s. And after waiting for months for an improvement, not only did it improve, was even worse. And so he was always trying out his eyes by trying to paint something, and one day he just threw his brush out and looked very upset and frustrated. And after that incident, I know that later on he had a seal carved with the meaning that he doesn't paint with his eyes, but he paints with his heart.
The thing that snapped me into realizing I was dreaming was it's my digital clock. I couldn't really read it. It's like the circuitry was all screwed up or something.
I'd like to watch that show, but I can't. There's too much cussing. And then, clever ruse in place. He would put in his request for Demon Beast. There's an interesting phenomenon that I've witnessed happen over and over again in the store. I call it the porn trance. We have two rooms of floor-to-ceiling boxes. People in the porn trance methodically look at every single one in their section. I see people look at box after box for 2 hours at a stretch all the time, and 3 hours is not uncommon. They don't hear announcements over the Voice of God microphone until you get drastic. You, in the red jacket, with the baseball cap, you, we're closing. Bring up your movies right now or you don't get to rent anything at all. Lone porn renters go into the trance almost immediately and resent being pulled out. Couples do not go into porn trance. There has already been a great deal of negotiating in getting both parties down there together. If either partner gets even a tiny fraction more interested in a porn star body than the other, the delicate balance, and quite possibly the relationship, is destroyed.
Yeah, that's real common. And small printed material is pretty tough, too. Very unstable.
React, but it's true. I've been watching you. Well, my doctor says just once a month. I know. Really? It's the best thing for the skin. It'll clear it right up. What's wrong with my skin? Well, it's fine now, but in another few years. please, Joy. You know I'm just speaking for your own good.
Oh, I know. I know. Thanks. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I mean, being around you and the kids, you know, kooky.
They really are?
Yeah.
Oh, honey, I'm so happy you're happy.
Another good tip-off is trying to adjust light levels. You can't really do that. If you see a light switch nearby, turn it on and off and see if it works.
Are you kidding? These machines are way too expensive.
Do it.
Okay. I think this will work.
60% atmosphere.
Jim, how are we doing on the AG?
Just hang on one second, Woody.
50% atmosphere.
Come on.
Jim, I've got oxygen.
A voice print identification. Not accepted. Voice print identification.
McConnell.
Accepted.
Shut down gravitational rotation.
Shutting down artificial gravitational rotation.
Jim, I've got the oxygen for you.
Hang on!
40% atmosphere.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm topside, Jim. Do you know which sector?
I'm working on it.
You better get some oxygen, Jim.
Yeah, I'm fine.
That's one of the few things you can't do in a lucid dream. What the hell, I can fly around, have an interesting conversation with Albert Schweitzer, and explore all these new dimensions of reality. Not to mention, I can have any kind of sex I want, which is way cool. So I can't adjust light level, so what?
But that's like one of the things that you do to test if you're dreaming or not, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to be a writer, and to me a writer was somebody who wrote novels. That's what a writer was, and anything else was not a writer. So I figured, well, hell, if you want to be one, why don't you try it? So
how would you describe the village?
I'd say a kind of a laconic, stoic northern novel.
You might not like this comparison, but not a million miles away from it. It's a completely different form from our town.
Well, I think that's very interesting you say that. Our town's always considered a, in this country, kind of a joke in professional theater, because it's the play everyone does in high school. Everyone does Our Town. But kind of a masterpiece. This is not kind of a masterpiece. It is a masterpiece.
I agree with you.
Wilder had sufficient genius to abstract, in the same way that Chekhov did, an experience of a community into vignettes in such a way that the abstracted experience gave the totality of, the emotional totality of a tragedy.
Are you sort of finding values in the village as a place and as a novel?
Yes, I've been privileged to live in there. Little town in New England off and on for most of the last 30 years.
Yeah, like I said, you can totally train yourself to recognize it. I mean, just hit a light switch every now and then. If the lights are on and you can't turn them off, then most likely you're dreaming.
This was the god of love himself. Golden ringlets framed his snowy neck and rosy cheeks, while each shoulder bore a dewy wing whiter than snow and tender as springtime flowers. Enraptured, Psyche leaned closer to look upon her lover, but her hand shook, and a drop of burning oil fell from the lamp onto his shoulder, whereupon Cupid opened his eyes and looked with sadness on his bride, instantly comprehending all.
For what it's worth, straight couples are rare in the porn section. Group renters never intend to go into the porn trance. They start out laughing together, pointing at the boxes, and reading particularly ludicrous copy out loud. And then one by one, they see something that really strikes them. And one by one, they get sucked in until the porn section is quiet again.
Which is one of his last painting and certainly the largest one that he had done. It was done during the time he was in Taipei. The painting was so big that we had to move all the furniture away and to build a special table for that painting. There were times that he would actually paint the background, which would be the upper portion of the painting. He would go to the other side of the table and do it upside down.
We had the entire cabinet on a trip to the Far East. We had one-third of a combat division returning from Germany in the air above the United States at the time of the shooting. At 12:34 p.m., the entire telephone system went out in Washington for a solid hour. And on the plane back to Washington, word was radioed from the White House Situations Room to Lyndon Johnson that one individual performed the assassination. Does that sound like a bunch of coincidences to you, Mr.?
And then you can get down to business. And believe me, it's unlimited.
You look a little heavy there, Zim.
That looks like you.
I'm what you might call the distributor. I distribute to all the head shops between Santa Fe and Albuquerque and all the stuff.
Yes, sir. Won't you check out that shopping back there? See what he's got in there.
You already checked that bag, Zipper.
I know it. Check it again. Could be there's something I missed.
I'm gonna get a make on that VW. Then we're gonna pack all this shit up and get out of here.
I said check out that shopping bag. Hey, John. John. That kid is a smart ass, and I'm going to bust him.
I bet you are, Zipper.
That's right. Now you get on the right side of it. Don't you look at me like that either.
Hey, you know what I've been working on lately?
What's that?
Oh, man, it's way ambitious, but I'm getting better at it. You're going to dig this. 360 vision, man. I can see in all directions.
It's something in their hand, and they draw. Somewhere along the line, we've been damaged in our personal feelings about drawing, and so I don't know if this is true of music. I was a musician before I was an artist. I think it's less so.
And Claire, I have a story to tell you. The same thing happened to me with music. When I was about perhaps seven, I was singing with a group of children, and the teacher walked up to me and said, "Betty, you just mouth the words because you're singing off key." And to this day, I cannot sing in a group situation.
Pretty cool, huh?
It's really unfortunate. So I do think that...
I gotta go, man.
Okay, later, man. Super profundo on the early eve of your day.
What's that mean?
Well, you know, I've never figured it out. Maybe you can. This guy always whispers it in my ear. Lewis, he's a recurring dream character.
To think of the democratic governments have been overthrown. By military coup is almost like giving a capsule history of CIA covert operations in the last 30 years. Mossadegh in Iran in 1953. There was the overthrow of Arbenz in Guatemala in 1954. There was the overthrow of the Brazilian government in 1964. There was the overthrow of the Ghana government in 1966.
So glum, Mr. DeBoer.
What was missing was felt irretrievable. The extreme uncertainties of subsisting without working made excesses necessary and breaks definitive. To quote Stevenson, suicide carried off many. Drink devil took care of the rest.
Governments I just mentioned got into trouble with the international oil companies because they tried to assert their national prerogatives over their own resources. Time after time, the CIA has come in on behalf of those multinational companies.
Talking about things I hadn't been talking to them before. Started getting back into Christianity and getting away from my paganistic beliefs and that.
Let me stop you. How did you start talking to African Americans and Latinos?
Just like at lunch counters, during lunch break, just sitting down, and they'd sit down next to me, and we'd start carrying a conversation, talking to them in the work environment when I would, you know, go do my work, my business. They just talked to them there.
What was the last straw for you when you decided, okay, I'm going to leave this life, I'm going to leave this group?
Well, the last straw happened about a year before I actually left the movement. I was up at a place called Aryan Nations. This is a compound in northern Idaho. And I was up there and I asked a question, and not just one, but to a couple of different people, but one to just a general assembly. I said, if we wake up tomorrow and everybody on this planet who's not white and Aryan just is dead, you know, we've miraculously won this race war we're all talking about. What is on our agenda? What's next in our plans? And now before anybody could answer, this young man who's about 24 sitting next to me, he hits me in the leg and says, TJ, you need to sit down, dude, because we're going to start with hair color next. Now, I laughed along with about everybody else in the room about that statement. I went home. I was thinking about the statement, started thinking about eugenics.
And the devil took care of the rest.
That, you know, only strong males love to mate with fruitful females. I started thinking about genetic coding and all this other stuff. And I realized that sooner or later, hair color and eye color would matter.
Why don't we listen to one of your... You say,
one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Bad boy Freddy told me every cut side. DJ is spinning, I said, my. Flash is cool, front, plus, and far, flush, ain't no two.
You say, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
I'll let it go there.
Come on, girls, let's rock that.
It's a blonde.
Kierkegaard's last words were, sweep me up.
Punch face. Punch face. Back to Spoonie again.
Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Into good times. Chic. Into Apache on a rub. Cutting it up, cracking again. Punch face, queen, another one bites the dust. In. Cutting into rhythm. Using good times to rub the rhythm against the queen. Good times by Chic.
But that release is so nice, the way it synchronizes there.
Thank you. That's the whole key to it, you know. That's what my contribution is. Keeping it on time, that was like the key.
Grandmaster, a cut master.
It's I punch bass from freedom. cutting it up. Now punch bass in Good Times. Back to Good Times.
Hey, man. Still in it now. I can't get out of it. It's been going on forever. I keep waking up, but I'm just waking up into another dream.
Mess now because we all started depending on government.
I've been stepping on her molecules now for about an hour. They're all over the room. This physical person from the neck up, as you see, will not be her physically, any of this, in about a year from now.
WSSH AM Boston, home of the Talk America Radio Network.
Pero si la Tierra no tuviera atmósfera, el cielo siempre sería negro y las sombras serían bruscas y fúnebres. Como ve,
campeón, ¿dónde están? Llegué aquí a la casa y no había nadie.
Estamos en el hospital porque mi papá le dio un ataque al corazón.
¿Qué?
Club manager's job. I'll bet. I'll go get her.
Damn, would you look at this club?
But now I gotta get this job, man.
Cablevision's pay-per-view? Now there's four easy ways to find out.
I'm starting to get creeped out, too. Like, I'm talking to dead people. This woman on TV's telling me about how death is this dream time that exists outside of life. I mean...
Our store is deliberately designed to make the porn section hard to get to. We want people to have to pass the register so the clerk can see them, and we make them snake through the shelves a bit so it's hard for kids to get down there. Turns out, though, it was a nearly impossible gauntlet for a wheelchair. The guy in the wheelchair was surprisingly nice about it. This guy had to wait more than an hour for a special cab to pick him up. Then he had to get over our doorstep, which is wheelchair accessible in a theoretical sense at best, and weave his way through two tight aisles and around three corners. The first path he tried ended up being too narrow, and he got stuck and had to back up and try another route. And then, after all that, he hit a staircase. Luckily, he could walk a bit. He took the railing with one hand and my arm in the other, and we went down. Then I went back and brought the chair down for him. I was torn between sticking around to help and giving the poor guy some privacy. I went with moderate privacy, leaving him alone and checking out the security camera every now and then until it looked like he was done.
And I'm always, I find people there very extraordinarily generous and possessed of those Yankee values, which are not a fiction. Well, taciturnity, circumspection, self-respect, honesty, humor, patience.
I'm starting to think that I'm dead.
Hey, David, come over here. What is this you got here?
Hey, man, forget it, man. You planted that shit on me and you know it, man. You hassled my ass for an hour and a half here, man. I'm gonna lose bread on all my shit, man. And you hassled me, and now you're planting this shit on me, you're gonna take me in and crack me, right? The law, the long arm of the law, man, right? Helping people out, right? That's really great. That's really top drawer.
I'm gonna tell you about a dream I once had. I know that's, you know, when someone says that, that's usually you're in for a very boring next few minutes. And you might be, but it sounds like, you know, what else are you going to do, right? Anyway, I read this essay by Philip K. Dick.
What, you read it in your dream?
No, I read it before the dream. It was the preamble to the dream. It was about that book, Blow My Tears, the Policeman Said. You know that one?
Yeah, he won an award for that one.
Out of sight. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you.
Turn on!
excuse me, do you know Harv Poole? Sure. Oh. Well, you see, I'm his new driver.
Harv's in the can.
Well, could you tell him his car's waiting outside for him?
Come on, don't be afraid. Sit down here. Come on.
Go ahead.
So I get this call, see? Says, I got trouble with a coon on my roof.
Hey, Big John. You play with a big voice today? Ooh, you look
good. No, I'm a nigger.
I'm a graduate, huh? Well, I'll be over tonight. Give me your diploma. Better.
Is she?
Jim.
Oh, deal me out. I'm
going to
eat.
Hey, any of you juicers play gin?
Playing this game? Order a hand.
No, thanks. I don't play cards. I always lose.
This here's a winner's circle, Winter Green.
Your beer's on the table, or?
Only losers I deal in are in the jail or in the moor.
They all don't belong there.
Well. John Winter Green? Al here, he's our griper. He complains about the brass. He complains about the system. And you know what? He'll probably end up being the first cop we carry out in a box.
Everybody doesn't hate you for helping them, huh?
9 cops gunned down in 2 years? You call that casual statistics a goddamned open season? The conspiracy's reaching out national proportions. This country is undergoing a precisely formulated conspiracy of police genocide. A carefully organized plan of civilian brutality, and it's just around the corner.
Right, right. That's the one he wrote really fast. It just, like, flowed right out of him. He felt he was sort of channeling it or something. But anyway, about 4 years after it was published, he was at this party. And he met this woman who had the same name as the woman character in the book. And she had a boyfriend with the same name as the boyfriend character in the book. And she was having an affair with this guy, you know, the chief of police. And he had the same name as the chief of police in his book.
And the sooner we get to dealing with it, the sooner I get to save your precious ass from some nigger waiting in the bushes ready to nail you.
So she's telling him all this stuff from her life, and everything she's saying is right out of his book. So that's really freaking him out, but, you know, what can he do? And then shortly after that, he was going to mail a letter, and he saw this kind of, dangerous, shady-looking guy standing by his car. But instead of avoiding him, which he said he usually would have done, he just walked right up to him and said, "Can I help you?"
A movie with captions. A 16-millimeter film.
And the guy said, "Yeah, I ran out of gas." So he pulls out his wallet and he hands him some money, which he says he never would have done. And then he gets home and he thinks, well, wait a second. This guy, he can't get to a gas station. He's out of gas. So he gets back in his car. He goes, finds the guy, takes him to the gas station. And as he's pulling up at the gas station, he realizes, hey, this is in my book too. This exact station, this exact guy, everything.
Because all the time I've been thinking you were so miserable.
Oh, Trish, that's too funny. When I couldn't be happier.
Just what with your music career and everything.
Oh, my career's fine.
Oh, I know. I know it will be. I just know it. And then you'll move out of Mom and Dad.
Real soon.
And you'll meet Mr. Wright.
Oh, I will. Already I feel I'm off to a fresh start.
That's right. I mean, just because you've hit 30 doesn't mean you can't be fresh anymore.
So this whole episode is kind of creepy, right? And he's telling his priest about it, describing how he wrote this book, and then 4 years later all these things happened to him. And as he's telling it to him, the priest says, "That's the book of Acts. You're describing the book of Acts." And he's like, "I've never read the book of Acts."
Well, they were two pretty big songs at that particular time, and they're almost in the same key. They're almost identical in the way that the bass is being played, and they worked really well in the club back in the days. So I felt, putting it in the mix was like a real good idea.
So he, goes home and reads the book of Acts, and it's like, uncanny. Even the characters' names are the same as in the Bible. And the book of Acts takes place in 50 AD when it was written, supposedly. So Philip K. Dick had this theory that time was an illusion and that we were all actually in 50 AD. And the reason he had written this book was that he had somehow momentarily punctured through this illusion, this veil of time. And what he had seen there was what was going on in the book of Acts. And he was really into Gnosticism and this idea that this demiurge or demon had created this illusion of time to make us forget, that Christ was about to return and the kingdom of God was about to arrive. And that we're all in 50 AD and there's someone trying to make us forget, God is imminent.
Going down to help him back up. And then he had to wait over an hour yet again for another taxi, which never showed. We finally hailed him one, and a friend of mine helped me help him into the cab, bringing the total number of people who had helpfully intruded on his porn rental to 6. I think the whole trip took him about 4 hours. Except to return the videos, he hasn't been back. And I can't say I blame him. To do what most of our customers do with complete privacy and no thought took him 4 humiliating hours. Before he came in, I didn't think of the ability to rent porn with speed and discretion as a basic human right. but now I sort of do. It's stupid, but I do still feel an odd swell of pride about what I'm doing every now and then. Immigrants from repressed nations sign up for memberships, go downstairs, and for the first time in their lives see porn. Elderly gay men suddenly have an outlet. Guys who have had a rough day at the office are going to have a relaxing evening, if not a quiet one. If I make it to the security monitor in time, I can see their faces light up.
Nothing can be absolutely solved. I don't know a really great or good work of art that hasn't got mystery, some mystery in it.
And that's what time is. That's what all of history is. It's just kind of this continuous, daydream or distraction. And so I read that, and I was like, well, that's weird. And then that night, I had a dream, and there was this guy in the dream who was supposed to be a psychic. But I was skeptical. I was like, yeah, he's not really a psychic, and I'm just thinking to myself. And then suddenly, I start floating, like levitating, up to the ceiling. And as I almost go through the roof, I'm like, okay, Mr. Psychic, I believe you. You're a psychic. Put me down, please. And I float down, and as my feet touch the ground, the psychic turns into this woman in a green dress. And this woman is Lady Gregory. Now, Lady Gregory was Yeats's patron, this, Irish person. And though I'd never seen her image, I was just sure that this was the face of Lady Gregory. So we're walking along, and Lady Gregory turns to me and says, let me explain to you the nature of the universe. Now, Philip K. Dick is right about time, but he's wrong that it's 50 AD. Actually, there's only one instant, and it's right now.
John Birch Society, Minute.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Slightly to the right of Attila the Hun. Used to recruit college students, infiltrate radical organizations on campus.
You believe that my body looked like me? You believe that her body looked like her?
You think we've all gone crazy?
You are trying to make us believe that we are seeing things. Why are you trying to do that?
What's your name, sir? Nice looking young man. This whole, what is your name? What's your name? Don, you know your whole body? I know you. Your whole body will be replaced in 7 years from now. The arteries, the veins, the heart, the lungs, a totally new you. Look around at all of us. We're all going to be replaced in 7 years from now.
But first, here's good news. The best news you've ever heard. It's news of a sensational radio offer. Sheriff Mike Shaw has arranged to have some badges made. That's right, whistling sheriff badges, exactly like the one the vigilantes gave him. Think of it. You can have a whistling sheriff's badge exactly like Mike Shaw's for your very own.
Thank you.
You start a huge covert war that you intend is going to be secret. It's not secret from the Russians. Certainly not secret from the Laotians who are getting shot at, or the Angolans or the Nicaraguans or whoever it is. It's covert from the American taxpayer and voter. And a lot of people make a lot of money off of it. And it attracts criminals. And it has every single time.
Who are the names, the faces, behind these covert activities?
And it's eternity. And it's an instant in which God is posing a question.
First of all, different Hawaiian families will have relationships with different animals.
That's what he said, yeah.
Yes, right. And every possible animal in Hawaii has some family connection. But it's lost because, there's a lot of reasons for it, but in many cases the people who had the knowledge either didn't pass it on, because Hawaiian culture was suppressed for quite a while. They either didn't pass it on, or it was the people died without an interest in the children. That's true.
Yeah. So.
But fortunately, there's still quite a bit of knowledge left.
I think
still
so.
Quite a bit of passing on.
Hey, you want to be a detective, Wintergreen? What you need is a hook, my man. And right now, I am your hook.
And that question is basically, do you want to, be one with eternity? Do you want to be in heaven? And we're all saying, no, thank you. Not just yet.
When the night talks to you, you got to listen, Wintergreen. Look at that moon. Listen to that desert. That desert's gonna help me solve a murder. Does that sound strange to you, Wintergreen?
And so time is actually just this constant saying no to God's invitation. I mean, that's what time is. I mean, and it's no more 50 AD than it's 2001.
I can use the mountains, but not the other way around. I can create the good, the beautiful, and eliminate the bad and ugly, just like God. I am God. Like God created Adam out of clay, I can create the mountains through my brush and ink.
You know, I mean, there's just this one instant, and that's what we're always in.
The hand scroll, the horizontal scroll, Landscape of Huangshan, is among the finest things he ever produced. The Huangshan painting is over 50 feet long. It's quite an experience to roll it. You can't just sort of glance at it and go away.
When someone like Chang Dacheng paints that wonderful hand scroll of Huangshan, it's a dance of the heart, it's a meditational exercise, and it's intended to be a meditational exercise not just for the artist but for the audience as well in responding to it, at which the hand scroll is an extraordinarily efficient format. Now, there is a first tendency with a hand scroll to gallop through it to see what's going to happen. But if you actually imagine yourself strolling along this path, past the river, feeling the dampness of the mist, listening to the wind as it bends the bamboos, all of those little games actually involve you in the meditational process of the painting much more efficiently. So you find a path out, stroll through, you come again into the mist. Then you come across another large waterfall, and there is a very obvious stone bridge across it. So clearly one takes that. It's an invitation. By the time you've traveled all the way through the hand scroll, you have viewed Huangshan through the eyes of the artist, then we begin to play with the more subtle languages of Chinese painting, where the real art of Chinese painting is, the languages of line, of form, of color, and texture. It becomes a totally different world. As subject matter, there's a major difference between the top of a rock and a tree. As form, there's no difference. It's just a balance of two different shapes. The first time going through it, these peaks might have looked all rather the same. They're all pointing fingers upwards, lots and lots of them. But the moment you start seeing them as just as abstract form, they become quite different. It becomes a little symphony. As he paints, it is a continuous dance for him as an artist. Every time he attacks the painting, it's a delight. He's not trying to achieve something.
And then she tells me that actually this is the narrative of everyone's life. That, you know, behind the phenomenal difference, there is but one story.
Dancing for the sheer spiritual joy of it. But if we look at that dance as simply depicting a house and a figure in a tree, we miss the dance.
Once Zhang Dajian and I went to a place called See It to Believe It Peak. The name means that you have to go there to believe that such a place could exist.
And that's the story of moving from the no to the yes. All of life is like, no thank you, no thank you, no thank you. And then ultimately it's, yes, I give in. Yes, I accept. Yes, I embrace. I mean, that's the journey.
When we left off, and you're
doing for probably the first time, when I first, I guess after maybe a three-year period, when I finally came up with it, I showed my partners Disco P, Easy Mike, and actually, as I was creating it, they were the only ones I would allow to really come into my room and sort of like watch me do this, and I think the first time that I decided that I would show this to the public, it was an outdoor dance, a block party we called it. You can come into the park for free and just, you know, come party. And I think the first time that I showed this, I said to myself, my theory was, if I play the climatic part of duplicate copies of a record, so it'd be like maybe 10 to 15 duplicates, back to back, seamlessly, on time, you know, I should have the neighborhood park in an uproar. When I got the exact opposite. You know.
I mean, everyone gets to the yes in the end, right?
Right.
It's kind of painful that, you know, it didn't work according to what I thought it would. People just sort of just stood there, quiet.
And
without a word, spread his wings and soared out through the window. Dazed with sorrow at her folly, Psyche endeavored to follow, but only fell from the window to the ground. Whereupon Cupid paused an instant in his flight to address her. Oh, foolish Psyche, it is thus that you repay my love for you.
So we continue walking, and my dog runs over to me, and so I'm petting him, really happy to see him. You know, he's been dead for years. So I'm petting him, and I realize there's this kind of gross, oozing stuff coming out of his stomach. And I look over at Lady Gregory, and she sort of coughs. She's like, oh, excuse me. And there's vomit, like, dribbling down her chin, and it smells really bad.
我才敲两门可以过去，那么我在那个地方啊。
I took some photographs there. But a camera can only show one angle at a time. To overcome this limitation, I adopted the way of Chinese painting, which uses multiple perspectives. This is called composite photography. Sometimes I would enlarge a picture of a very small bonsai rock, add clouds and mist, and put Zhang Daqian in the clouds. The composite method adopts an essential idea of Chinese painting. For centuries, Chinese painting has understood how to invent a world, not just represent it literally.
And on the plane back to Washington, word was radioed from the White House Situations Room to Lyndon Johnson that one individual performed the assassination. Does that sound like a bunch of coincidences to you, Mr. Garrison?
No.
Not for one moment. The cabinet was out of the country to get their perceptions out of the way. Troops were in the air for possible riot control. The telephones didn't work to get the wrong stories from spreading if anything went wrong with the plan. Nothing was left to chance.
Wait a second, that's not just the smell of vomit, which is, you know, doesn't smell very good. That's the smell of, like, dead person vomit. You know, so it's like doubly foul. And I realized I'm actually in the land of the dead. And everyone around me was dead. My dog had been dead over 10 years. Lady Gregory had been dead a lot longer than that. When I finally woke up, I was like, whoa, that wasn't a dream. That was a visitation to this real place, the land of the dead.
So what happened? I mean, how did you finally get out of it?
People, and it didn't get loud, and it didn't party, they didn't do what I thought.
Why not?
You know, so, I don't know, I'm not sure what it was at that time, you know, because I had all the equations, you know, sort of set. You know, I watch these songs, the songs that I picked, I watched certain DJs play from the beginning, and I knew that at that particular part is where the audience went wild. So I figured, let me just go to the part of these songs and just do them one behind another. But it was extremely quiet. And it turned out that the real fact of the matter is this vocal entertainment was sort of needed to accompany this new way of DJing. And I made the first attempt, and I was totally horrible trying to, like, rap with my mixing. And it was really too much to do at one time because
sure.
it's constantly, you know, it's constantly, you know, taking records on, taking them off, putting them on. You know, so I was horrible at it. Then what I would do is basically put a microphone out on the other side of the table, and anyone that thought that they can verbalize to this newfound science of mixing, please feel free, you know. Everybody failed except for this one person who probably was like the savior of my esteem. It was Keith Wiggins. He was my first MC. He went by the name of Cowboy. And Cowboy had a way of, he reminded me of like a ringmaster at the circus, you know, and he had a very commanding voice. And he came up with a verbalization, like, you know, throw your hands in the air, say this, ho, say party, and this and that. So that was the perfect diversionary tactic to get people off of looking at me and to look at him and do what he says do while I go through a series of breaks, you know, just playing one behind another seamlessly to the beat.
Let's hear it.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. So push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
That's the message, and the rappers are milling.
Actually, how it happened was when I was maybe 10 years before I recorded making records, there was a gentleman by the name of Fab Five Freddy who usually comes to my parties, but he also had this incredible connection with, like, the whites and different races of people downtown in the village. So back in the days, he was like hanging downtown in the village, but he would come up to the Bronx and party with Flash, Herc, and Bam. And he was sort of like our town crier also. He would go downtown and say, listen, it's this guy's uptown, you guys, you know, this guy named Flash, you gotta come, you know, come check him, you know. And he would say to me, I'm gonna bring one of my good friends up, Deborah Harry. And everybody at that time knew that name, and I was basically on some yeah right whatever. And then surprisingly enough, a couple of weeks later, he brought this woman to my party, and she watched me play, and she was extremely happy with the way that I played, and said that she was gonna write a song about me. I took it as a grain of salt, didn't really believe it until maybe 2 or 3 months later she did it, and she opened up so many doors for hip-hop by doing that.
Oh man, it was just like one of those like life-altering experiences. I mean, I could never really look at the world the same way again after that.
But I mean, like, how did you finally get out of the dream? See, that's my problem. I'm like, I'm trapped. I keep thinking that I'm waking up, but I'm still in a dream. It seems like it's going on forever. I can't get out of it, and I want to wake up for real. How do you really wake up?
You are trying to make us believe that we are seeing things. Why are you trying to do that?
It's true that Chinese painting had the idea of expression through form, expression through abstract form, somewhat separate from imagery, before it was popular in the West. It didn't get going in the West until 19th and 20th century. As in China, that kind of thinking went all the way back to the 11th century, so there were people in the Song Dynasty China who said that anybody who looks at the painting in terms of likeness, that is for what it represents, is like a child.